It has happened. Zach Wilson has been benched. Mike White will start for the New York Jets on Sunday. Joe Flacco's the backup, and Zach Wilson is inactive. Coach Saleh did it right. We'll break down the decision for the Jets to make a change at quarterback and where they go from here. We look ahead to Sunday's matchup with the Bears. Can the Jets win and get to 7-4 with Mike White at the helm? And Darrelle Revis goes in the Ring of Honor Sunday. So why not have him on the podcast? That's right. The future Hall of Famer, Jets legend, Darrelle Revis is going to join us for an interview that you do not want to miss. It's all coming up on a busy Thanksgiving edition of Gang's All Here from the New York Post.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back to Gang's All Here, a New York Jets podcast from the New York Post. Jake Brown here alongside Brian Costello. Special episode for you for Thanksgiving. Jets Ring of Honor member. He'll get in on Sunday. Future Hall of Famer. One of the greats to ever do it. One of my favorite all-time football players. Darrelle Revis will join us in about 15 minutes on the second half of this show. We were hoping this show would basically be a simple Jets Bears preview and a Darrelle Revis interview. And now the Jets have flipped us upside down, Kaz. We waited to record this till Wednesday, and rightfully so. You called it. The quarterback decision will be made. It's been made. Mike White will start for the Jets against the Chicago Bears at MetLife Stadium at 1 o'clock on Sunday. Zach Wilson is not the backup quarterback. Joe Flacco is. Zach Wilson is inactive. And I called this in SMY hit I did yesterday. I said, you should make this guy inactive. Kaz, I thought Saleh and company have made the right decision here. I think Zach Wilson, you know, you point to first and foremost his play on the field. It's unacceptable. Both games against the Patriots have been dreadful. This could be an 8-2 football team potentially. I don't want to go down that route. But, you know, this team could have won one or two more games. Both games against the Pats sucked. His answers after the game sucked. He rubbed people the wrong way, Kaz. I don't want to hear that those tweets were accidentally liked by Sauce and JFM. No one accidentally likes tweets hating on their quarterback. I think there a lot of guys are mad at him to the point where Saleh said in the presser, he said maybe there's a little irritation in the locker room at the moment, but I don't think there's hate. And you had to make this decision. Mike White on Sunday. Good job here by the Jets, Kaz. Your thoughts and, you know, reflecting on what you heard from Saleh and LaFleur in Wednesday's press conferences.
Yeah, I mean, I think it sounds like it's been a long time coming, Jake. And I know everyone, their knee-jerk reaction is always his comments. I really don't think the comments were what did it. I think everyone inside the Jets kind of knew what he was saying. And yes, were they annoyed Sunday night? 100%. But I think, you know, Zach did address the team. I think they know where he's coming from. I think they're okay with him. But the play has just been so poor. And, you know, Saleh's been defending him left and right for the last month, it feels like. And even when they were winning, Jake, and on winning streak, we kept talking about it. Well, like, at some point, they're going to need Zach Wilson to win them a game, Kenny. And that game was Sunday. And they couldn't run the ball against the Patriots, and he couldn't do it. So I think they just looked at it and said, all right, we got to do something here. They've talked about his fundamentals just getting totally messed up. Mike LaFleur said it's his lower half. So it sounds like his footwork has not been what they wanted. They basically need to get him in the shop, so to speak, and give him a tune-up. And, you know, he's going to be the third string quarterback, so he's going to be running the scout team and doing that work, and they'll be working with him in practice to try to get him back on track. And I did think it's interesting. Robert Saleh said the intention is for him to play again this season. So they do have that. Obviously, they're putting that out there. You know, if Mike White goes on a winning streak here, that'd be hard to do. But if White loses a few games, maybe you'll see Wilson again.
And it's hard to judge everything on Sunday when you're going up against one of the worst defense in the NFL and the Bears. So listen, Mike White could have a similar game to what he did against the Bengals last year. Against the Bengals, 37 for 45, 405 yards, 3 touchdowns. Now, He had to throw again 44 times against the Bills. That was a different Jets team, less talent, you know, not the same roster, not as good of a defense. You're not expecting Mike White to have to throw the ball 40 times ever the rest of the way. However many starts he makes, you're hoping they cap that 25-30 with this run game. But I think this was the only decision to be made. You had to send this kid a message. You know, that play is unacceptable. The way you're carrying yourself around the locker room is unacceptable. The way you're speaking to the media about no one knows nothing outside the building. Like you said, Kaz, we know 77 yards sucks. And you can't keep trotting this kid out there. You had to send a message.
You know, maybe this lights a fire under him and he can get going.
If this doesn't, I don't know what does. And, you know, we'll see what happens with Mike White. I think you're going to see here the competent quarterback play and a good defense winning you games. Now, you beat Chicago and then you go from there because then you got Minnesota, you got Buffalo. The schedule gets a lot tougher, but this is a must-win game. We talked about Lions, Jaguars, Bears being the three games you got a shoo-in as wins. That gets you to 9, and then you win one of either Buffalo, Miami, or Seattle. You win one of those, and that gets you to 10 and gets you in the playoffs. So we'll see. I'm excited to see Mike White, man. I think this is the right move. I'm glad they got it right. I think this could have been an absolute nightmare if they threw Zach out there with this situation right now. And I know a lot of people want to say, why not throw him out there against the Bears? They have a bad defense. Give him a chance to rebound. I think that would just send the wrong message to the defense and the rest of the guys who are pissed off at him. And Kaz, I mean, the Patriots, they've broken the Jets. We had the Mark Sanchez butt fumble. We had Sam Darnold seeing ghosts. And now Zach Wilson benched. What do you see as the outlook of the future here? I mean, he's got 4 years, $35 million guaranteed, so he's probably still going to be the quarterback. But
I think there's going to be a free agent signed in the offseason, Jake. Jimmy Garoppolo makes the most sense, but who knows what's going to happen in San Francisco if they go to the Super Bowl. It's going to be hard for them to let Jimmy walk away, even if they have Trey Lance. So, but if Jimmy hits the market, he makes the most sense. The coaching staff knows him. They like him. I could see them saying, you know, oh, you know, Zach can compete for the job or something in the summer. But, you know, knowing that Jimmy's going to be the quarterback.
So you think they would, because Jimmy's not going to be cheap. He's going to be, you know, probably $12 million plus a year.
Well, this isn't changing, though, Jake, right? Where you're at right now with this whole, okay, the Jets have a good defense. They have a roster that can win right now. That should only get better next year, right? Like next year was the year they were supposed to compete. That was so... If you feel like you're a quarterback away right now, that's not changing unless Zach comes in for the last, I mean, how many games do you need to see, Jake? Like, because again, December can be deceiving with these quarterbacks. I don't know what he could do this season to convince you that he's the guy at this point. So if you're now saying we need a different quarterback to win, I don't see how you feel differently come March, you know?
Yeah, they have to bring in competition. They never did. I mean, Mike White, Joe Flacco and Mike White is not legit competition. Jimmy Garoppolo, oh man, I mean, him in New York City, I think, is just a match made in heaven. The guy's already a model. He's just so handsome. The suits, the looks, I mean, he's a guy who wins with a great defense and playing smart. I mean, the 49ers could win it. Like you said, if they win a title, I don't know how they just let Jimmy Garoppolo walk. I mean,
right, and he knows the offense. It's the same offense. So he walks into this offense already knowing it. I mean, it makes a ton of sense. So it probably won't happen, but it just makes so much sense, Jake.
Why do you say that? Why do you?
Because it makes too much. It makes so much sense. I'm just kidding. I mean, like usually like you're like, oh, you know, when you try to predict these things, it doesn't usually go the way you think it's going. It's just too logical.
Yeah, and the other name floating around there, if the Raiders are rebuilding, is Carr. Now, does that intrigue you at all?
Yeah, a little bit, but yeah, I just don't know if he's a fit completely for this offense. I'd have to think back of the offenses he's played in. Obviously, the Gruden offense is a lot different. The McDaniels offense is a lot different, and I forget who is there with Del Rio. But yeah, it would intrigue you. I don't know, you know, all the different names, but you know, yeah, it's gonna be it's gonna be another offseason of quarterback stories.
Guys, I mean, what a year. I mean, you thought you were in for just a nice, normal year. The Jets start winning all of a sudden. The Patriots break.
I've never experienced a normal year, Jake. Let's get that straight. There's never been a normal year. I don't know what that looks like.
This could be only your second winning season if they do win 9 games since being full time on the beat, right?
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Wow. So this is big.
And, yes, and I'm waiting to cover my first playoff game as the Jets beat writer.
Well, hopefully it's in January with Mike White at quarterback. Now, you tweeted it, and a couple other guys did. You were surprised by this. This
I was. I thought he was sending a message Monday saying, like, hey, this guy's not on scholarship anymore. You know, we're considering it. But then I thought they'd go, okay, let's give Zach a half against Chicago, against a bad defense, see if he can get himself straight. And then if it was a disaster at halftime, make the change. So, yeah, I was surprised. I thought that was the way they were going to go.
Yeah, and I don't buy into them saying that, you know, stuff after the game didn't play a part. Clearly, guys, defensive players probably came to Sal, like, what are we doing here?
I might have been a small part, Jake, but it's he threw for 77 yards.
Of course, like, but
I think Sala watched the game back on the plane ride home and said, like, you know, what are we doing? Like, what? Like, remember, he's a defensive guy at heart. So I think he had to do that. So.
Well, something you told me, and I had no idea. Zach is in the press conference room in the back watching this all go down.
When Sala was talking, yeah, not always. It's not always the case, but so usually the way it works is, you know, Sala, they have a 10-minute cooling off period after the game, and then Sala comes out and meets the media in a press conference room, and then Zach goes immediately after Sala. So if he's ready, like, and you've seen him, he comes out in pads, like he doesn't shower before he does it. So he's ready to go. So he'll sometimes be in the room when Sal is speaking, and he was Sunday. He was in the back of the room. So I don't think that went over too well with him hearing all the questions about himself. Like, that's got to be tough to listen to. And especially when you're walking off a football field. So I think he was emotional when he got behind that microphone already. And then he reacted poorly to that one question. And, you know, I think, Jake, I think it has something to do with the media. It's not one I know some people are all one specific media member. It's not one specific media member. I think he doesn't feel like he needs to explain himself to reporters sometimes and doesn't feel like we know what we're talking about. Like, he's expressed that. So I think that was the thought behind no. When he said no about the defense, I don't think he truly believes that. I mean, the guy's smart enough to know he didn't do enough to win that game on Sunday.
So you don't think it was in relation to someone that rhymes with Bonner Bues with Zach? Because I know Jets Twitter is thinking that. And I would love to see Zach Wilson and Connor Hughes in a room together.
It was more just general, the media, you know. Sometimes guys don't realize they're speaking to their teammates when they're up there. They're not just speaking to the people that are in the room.
Well, listen, you guys are doing a terrific job, you and Connor and everyone, covering another wacky season. Well, the Jets have to play football Sunday. They'll do it with Mike White. They go up against the 3-8 Bears, 1 p.m. Sunday, Fox, Joe Davis, Daryl Johnson, the college Jets, for once, our favorites.
They actually ended up being favored against Denver, Jake, that morning, right? Remember, because the beginning they weren't favored, then Russell Wilson didn't play. So the morning of the game, they became favorites.
All right, the Jets 5-point favorites. It's Darrell Revis Day. He's going to join us on Gangs All here in just a few minutes. All right, one of the worst defenses in the league versus one of the best defenses in the league. And the Jets need to establish the ground game again. Do not make Mike White throw it 40 times like he did in a couple of those games. Listen, I know Mike White's last game was terrible. His first game was great. Against the Colts, he was great, but then he got hurt. He came in the second half or the end of the first half against the Patriots. So he's really only had two legitimate start to finishes, one great, one terrible. He's a mixed bag. Cause Jets 5-point favorites. Do they go 7-4? Break the game down. Make your prediction. I have a feeling you're finally going to take the Jets.
Oh, wow. You think I'm that big of a Mike White fan? Is that what it is, Jake? Huh. This is a big one. They got to keep pace here. You know, they're right now on the outside looking in the playoffs, but there's a bunch of teams there kind of all together. And two of their AFC rivals play on Thanksgiving, so they'll go into this game kind of knowing where they're at in the division. You know, something's getting underplayed, Jake. You just touched on a bit. The running game was non-existent Sunday against the Patriots. I think with all the focus on the quarterback, there should be some worry, too, about getting this offensive line back healthy, getting the running game going, finding something. They really miss Breece Hall. So I'd be concerned about that. But I'm picking the Jets.
Wow.
I think Mike White's going to have a good game. I think the Bears stink. I don't know if Justin Fields is going to play. You know, obviously he adds a dimension if he plays. But what's the spread, Jake?
5? I think it's going to be
close. I haven't figured out the score I'm going to go with. But I will say Jets 30,
Whoa.
Bears 20.
Wow. Kyle is giving the Jets 30 points. I expect a defensive touchdown in there, unless Mike White just has a party. And
Mike effing White.
Mike effing White, baby. Oh, man. I hope he kills it and starts the rest of the season. And listen, if there's a sack or something, he goes down. We're back to Joe Flacco, and this season continues to get weirder and weirder.
How about this, Jake? The three quarterbacks have all been the third string quarterback at some point this season, healthy, right? They've all, like, yeah, the start of the year, White was the back, was the number three. Zach was injured, and then Zach comes back, White was the number three. Then they made the change, and Flacco was the number three, and now Zach is the number three, healthy.
A wild year indeed. And of course, I'm taking the goddamn Jets. Listen, the Bears. Battling injuries, Fields, it would be not wise to play him when you're 3-8. I think they should sit him for a game. Khalil Herbert, the other running back, is on IR, so it's going to be the David Montgomery show. They're not stacked at receiver. They got Chase Claypool and Darnell Mooney. Cole Kmet's been okay as a tight end. They don't have a ton of targets. They're going to run a lot with Montgomery, especially if Simi is the quarterback, and if Fields is, you know, you got to be careful because he's usually their leading rusher every week. So don't let him get outside the pocket. He's going to be tough to stop. But I think Mike White leads the Jets to victory. I'm going 20 as well, except I'm saying 27-20 Jets. They win by a touchdown. They get to 7-4.
Here's some late-breaking Justin Fields news for you. According to my good friend Brad Biggs from the Chicago Tribune, Bears coach Matt Eberflus says Justin Fields has been cleared to practice today. This is Wednesday. We're recording this. And is day-to-day. The team is holding a walkthrough today, and the estimation for the injury report today will be limited.
Oh, that means he's going to play. God damn it. Well, unless he's on the Corey Davis timeline where day-to-day is really
month-to-month. He is practicing on Wednesday fully. Corey Davis is back.
Wow. Corey Davis. Screw it. 44-20. Jets win.
And the practice window on George Fant has been opened, Jake. He's practicing.
What does that terminology mean? The window has been opened. Does that mean he's playing or he's not?
No, he's not playing, but he's practicing. So now, so when you activate him from IR for practice, you have 21 days then to activate him for a game. You know, guys can't just walk back from IR and play right away, Jake. It's you know, it takes a little time, at least a little time to get back in shape.
I'm going to change my prediction. I'm going to go with you. Screw it. I'm changing it. 30-20 Jets. We're both rocking 30-20.
Oh, wow.
Same score. I'm riding with Kaz.
Definitely won't happen then.
If you pick the Jets, I'm going the exact score because you never pick them. So we're riding together.
Are Jets fans now going to react poorly to me picking the Jets, Jake? Or are they going to appreciate it? Because I
feel
like
either way, they're going to react poorly. So
yeah. We'll
all right. Darrelle Revis is about to join us. You know, going to the Ring of Honor, is he the greatest cornerback that you've ever seen and you've ever covered?
Yeah, because I never covered Deion Sanders, and I think he's the only other one that's really in the conversation with Darrelle. Probably the best player I ever covered, honestly.
Ballot Hall of Famer?
Yeah, I think he will be. You know, I think if there was I think the ballot this year doesn't have a lot of first ballot guys, which helps him. I think if this was a year where he was facing Peyton Manning and Ray Lewis and all, you know, some of the guys that got in the last few years, he might have a tougher time because he doesn't have a great stats, Jake. Like, his interception totals are not high. But that's because no one ever threw to him. But so I think you had a greater appreciation for Ralph if you watched him than if you were from afar. But I do think he'll get in the first ballot because you know there's an easy case to be made for him.
Yeah, I loved watching Revis play. You know, I had his little jersey shirt. Like I'll say to him, he took me through a lot of childhood moments. So like from a kid watching him to then getting to interview him on a bus that he got to now as an adult interviewing him. Darrelle Revis joins Gangs All Here next.
Mike effing White.
Joining us now on Gangs All Here podcast is one of the best cornerbacks to ever do it. A first round pick by the Jets in 2007 out of Pittsburgh, playing 8 seasons with Gangrene from 2007 through 2012. And then coming back in 2015 and 2016, he won a Super Bowl with another team in the division that I won't name. And he's a member of the 2010s All Decade team. And at Sunday at MetLife Stadium, he becomes a member of the Jets Ring of Honor. His next membership will be into Canton after that at the Pro Football Hall of Fame, we suppose. It's cold, Kyle, so let's take a trip somewhere hotter. How about Revis Island? Let's welcome in number 24, Darrelle Revis. Darrelle, welcome to Gangs All Here. Jake Brown, Brian Castella, how are you? How's post-NFL life treating you?
I'm well. Thanks for having me on the show. And post-life is retirement is fine. I'm just making my adjustments as I go. I'm dabbling into a lot of business ventures, into art, collecting art, into real estate. So it's another learning curve. It's not football terminology, but I'm having fun with it. I have some great partners and we're going to continue to do great business.
Darrell, I met you once, spoke to you once, and it was 2015, days after the Jets beat the Patriots. I'll show you the picture because it looks like a different person. I've had quite the glow up since then. Hair, you took me through a lot of my memories from college, graduating high school as a Jet fan, losing my virginity. I lost my virginity.
Much information.
The week we lost in the AFC Championship game, I remember, because it was a week before I turned 19. So a lot of childhood memories. You remember that game? I mean, this show's airing after the Jets-Patriots game, but you remember that overtime thriller and beating the Pats? Because it's been 7 years since this happened.
Yes, I have. It was a memorable moment, you know, not only for the organization, but for us as a team. And, you know, I think we stacked up pretty well against the Patriots that game. And it was a lot of electric energy going on. And I remember I was just so excited to just see Ryan throw the ball to Eric Decker to actually seal the game. And maybe it's a clip out there on me of celebrating, or I don't know what I did at the time, but it's always good to beat the Patriots playing in the gangrene. So
I was looking, Darrell, the numbers from that year from 15, I forgot you had 5 interceptions that year when you came back here. What was that season like for you coming back and then kind of, you guys hit sort of a magic ride there with Fitz and Brandon Marshall and the defense playing at a high level. What was that year like for you?
I think it was great. I think on all cylinders, we were on the offensive side, we were clicking. On the defensive side, we were clicking. Special teams was doing pretty well as well. So, you know, for us, I think a lot of us had a lot of record-breaking seasons. I think Brandon, he had the most receiving yards. Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think he was breaking some records here or there. It was really awesome to see, you know, everybody on the team just, you know, even though collectively we're playing together, but individual accolades were there, part of that team too. So I just think it was a great group of guys.
When I spoke to you in that picture, when I looked like I was in a boy band, you were getting in the ride of fame. You had your own bus that day. They gave you a bus. You got your own bus around New York City with your face on it. Now you're going to the Ring of Honor, which is a pretty big deal. And the next stop we expect to be Canton. Do you have your speech ready? Will there be tears shed? What are you expecting on Sunday at halftime?
I have no clue. I really don't. I'm going to take this with stride and, you know, just try to enjoy the best I can. I am excited, but also there's a lot of butterflies of, you know, being recognized is one of the best, and the hard work and dedication that you just put into this. I just think, you know, this is a honor that, you know, guys receive, and I'm happy, I'm humble for it. And I appreciate to, you know, be in the Ring of Honor with all the other greats.
Darrell, just watching you through the years in training camp and season, Jake, no one ever practiced harder than Darrell like that. Like I've told people that a million times. It was like crazy to watch him practice. Where did that drive come from, Darrell? Like who put that, instilled that in you? And where did it come from, you know, coming out of Aliquippa to this? You were always so driven and with everything you did.
I really believe just coming from a steel mill town and, you know, blue collars, very hard nosed, tough people, tough neighborhood, tough community. You know, we really love football. We love sports. We're diehard fans of the game itself. And as a family, if you're watching, you know, football, the entire family is watching it, right? So even the women are partaking to watch the game. So, you know, for me, you know, when you see this growing up, you know, you kind of say, wow, is this is a part of my family dynamic and my identity. So for me, I just think the passion has always come from just seeing, you know, relatives around me, people around me, and then also being able to watch games and watch some of the greatest players play on television. And just, I guess, gravitating to it and then really looking at it and say, okay, what type of player am I going to be? And I just think for me, when you talk about practice, it's just really being so, you know, ultra competitive and not allowing a catch, you know, even at practice, let alone be in the game. So on Sunday. So it's just for me, I just took that on and I made that my DNA. I made it who I am.
Boy, I remember Patrick Turner, Darrell. That story comes to mind. Like Darrell would also not just practice hard; he made sure the guy across from him did everything right. Like, and he was going against Patrick Turner, practice squad receiver, wasn't doing what he was supposed to do, and Darrell kind of let him know it.
My bad, Patrick. You know, I had to do it. I had to do my job. So,
Darrell, you're 4 years removed from retiring now. Could you see yourself playing in today's game, and are you in the shape to play? If someone said, "We badly need a cornerback," or you know, we're six guys deep, some guys are hurt, could you come back and play today?
No, at this age, no. But if I were to be drafted, you know, around this era, this time, yeah, for sure. I think some of the greatest players in this game can play it in any era. It's just really a matter of what era you're in and what you're playing in. But I wholeheartedly believe that, you know, players can play at any level. The game just seems a little bit more fun now in a lot of ways. I think technology and a lot of things that take place with the game. And there's so much media outlets and feeds that I try to pick up on certain things when it comes to the games and whatnot, and clips and stats. So for me, it's really fun and interesting. But yeah, I could, at 37, you know, I don't.
It's not that old.
Throwing a few pounds, I probably look like a linebacker at this point.
Position change, guys. Put him at linebacker.
Yeah, bro. The I remember when after Eric Mangini got fired here in your second year, I remember going down to Baltimore and talking to Rex, and he was up for the job. And he was pumping me for information about the teams I've been. I just remember him going, "Well, I know number 24. I know what I got there if I get the job." What did Rex coming here, what did that do for you? And just that first season, that 2009 season, was just, you know, off the charts. You should have been the defensive player of the year that year. Playing in Rex's system, what did that do for you? And just kind of how nice was that marriage between you and Rex?
Our relationship was very close. We would have a lot of conversations one-on-one, you know, obviously in his office and throughout the building itself. He would pull me to the side all the time. And we all, you know, we've always had that good banter and camaraderie. You know, I think Rex coming from, you know, the Baltimore Ravens and as a defensive coordinator and, you know, him coaching some of the best defensive players, you know, in the game, you know, Ray Lewis, Ed Reed, you know, Bart Scott as well. I mean, there's so many other guys that I can name, but those two stand out. And Rex, you know, believed and felt that I was able to be, you know, in that category with an Ed Reed or a Ray Lewis. So, you know, I took that challenge on. You know, I think that was, you know, my rookie year was with Eric Mangini, and my second year, and you know, we brought Brett Favre in, and you know, that was a great. It started off great, right? And then it didn't go so great.
The ending wasn't too good.
Yeah, the ending wasn't too good. At that point, as being a second player in the league, second year player in the league, and not really knowing my ceiling as a player, as an athlete, I didn't know that a coach can come in and kind of highlight my skill set much more. In a way, you know, it was like playing chess for Rex. He would put me in certain uncomfortable situations where I rose to the challenge and raised my hand and say, "Rex, if this is what we have to do as a defense to win and compete, then this is what we have to do." So I was up for the challenge. So I appreciate Rex allowing me to let my skill set evolve as I became a more savvier player.
You played for Mangini, Rex Schiano, Belichick, Bowles, and Andy Reid. Was Rex the best coach, or at least the coach that you got along with the most, that made you the best player? Was he the best defensive coach, best coach you got along with, or was it someone else?
I think all the coaches that I played under are obviously great coaches and Hall of Fame coaches. For me, you know, I think the bond that me and Rex had is probably one I never even, you know, I never had in a sense. So, you know, that is more a little bit more special than I would say most other coaches I've played under. But that was a time where, you know, I was in my prime. There was a window of opportunity, and Rex was able to see that window of opportunity for us as a team. And, you know, he put me in situations where, You know, I really had to, you know, I had to learn a lot of things. I have to learn that, like, Rex, don't take me out of practice. Like, I love to practice. And, you know, he would sit there and pull me to the side, and more so of being a coach. You know, he was there to be a friend and say, if you continue to go on this trajectory that you're going on, it will shorten your career in a lot of ways. And overall, it really did overall anyway. So at the time, it's hard to listen. When you're going on that type of trajectory, it's hard to stop a player and get them to turn and say, huh? And listen, it's very difficult. I mean, we've seen it throughout sports itself. We've seen Kobe Bryant do it. We've seen a lot of guys do it. So for me, it was, I had a coach, but I also had a friend that could sit there and say, you can't practice this week because we need to rest your legs. You're playing, your percentage of playing man coverage is so much and it's so intense, and your body's able to hold up, but eventually it's not going to hold up. But, and so that's why I say Rex is, it doesn't matter what coach is better or not, or championships or not. I just think Rex Ryan was a coach, and also he was a friend.
Darrell, when you tore your ACL in 12 and you're coming off of that and the Jets are going through a turmoil, new GM, John Idzik comes in. Did you think you ever had a chance of staying here? Do you think he had his mind made up that he was trading you? And just kind of what was that time like for you when you knew you were going to probably be going somewhere else?
There was a lot of speculation about me being traded. So at that point, once the news was out there, I kind of figured that it was a 50-50 chance, you know, of me being traded or actual staying on the team. Obviously, you know, I had the ACL tear. You know, I don't know. Maybe people in the building felt that I wasn't going to be the same caliber player of having a season-ending knee injury. So there's you know, there's no question to it. There could have been have doubt, could have not been. But, you know, at the end of the day, I was traded, and that's how I had to look at it. You know what I'm saying? At the time, was I 100%? You know that? No, I was still rehabbing. I was still trying to, you know, make the organization believe that I could still be a part of the winning process and the winning culture we're trying to build here. Those things are, you know, out of my hand, and I don't make those calls. But did I want to go to Tampa? No. but at the same time, you know, those were the cards that was dealt, you know, for me at the time. And the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they did well by me when it came into training room and the staff and making sure my knee got to 100%. So overall, no, I would have loved to stay. Trust me, I would have loved to stay. And there was a lot of things. There were things like, you know, well, he's in his last year of his deal. Is he going to come back and ask for $1 zillion? And it was like, you know, at this point, I don't have any much leverage. So I have to obviously prove myself once again that, you know, I'm worth it or whatever you want to say. But that was really it for me. I understood the options that I had, and I had to, those were the cards that was dealt for me at the time.
And I mean, you were so good that even off a torn ACL at the time, you got the highest paid contract in defensive history, which is pretty incredible. But did you miss that kind of spotlight and the pressure? You've talked in the past about how Tampa, there wasn't pressure like that. Like you said, you didn't want to leave the Jets. Did you want to be a Jet for life? And did you want to be under that New York spotlight, that New York pressure where everything's bigger and better?
You know, I think, you know, where, you know, for me, you know, my loyalty lies with whatever team drafted me, and that was the New York Jets. So for me, I just felt that this was home, away from home. So, you know, I never really looked at it as, you know, a spotlight thing for me. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's tough love here, you know, and I understand that, but I felt like the city is embracing me as a player. I embraced the city back. Constructive criticism for me has always been a part of my life, and that always started with my mother, in a sense, to making sure I could fulfill my dream and chase my dream instead of being on a street corner or getting caught in a situation where, you know, I can't fulfill my dream. So, you know, when it came to coaching, I was very coachable in any way, shape or form to execute and do that. But for me, it was just more so of just trying to bring a second championship to the New York Jets. And that was always on my mindset. So
just last one for me, Darrell, a couple months, they'll be voting on the Hall of Fame for you. And I think, I would expect you're going to get in. Have you allowed yourself to think about that at all? And just kind of, we talked about the Ring of Honor. The next level is Canton, right? Like there's not that many guys that ever played this game that are in that. Have you let yourself think about that at all, what it would mean to you?
It would mean the world to me in the sense of just the ups and downs, scars, the good times, the highs, the lows, you know, really coming to an organization and just trying to just have a winning culture around here and win big. So for me, you know, these are individual accolades, obviously. And my thing for me is I just try to do the best I can to be the best player I can be, you know, and it just happened to be in New York City and playing under a microscope and playing at a very, very high level. So it's all surreal. I'm just taking one day at a time. I'm excited about the Jets Ring of Honor to even be acknowledged with some of the greats that's already in the honor. Ring of Honor, and come Canton time and deuces, and you know the voters do a great job at picking the guys for that for this class, this upcoming class. You know, hopefully, I would love to see my name, you know, in that group of guys and in that class. So, and it's not only just for me; it's just what I represent. It's what comes behind that. It comes with a legacy of playing in the New York Jets and just getting the opportunity. And just showcase my skill and talents.
A couple more minutes with Darrell Revis going to the Ring of Honor. Go to the game, get your tickets, Jets, Bears, and you got to be there on Sunday to see Darrell at halftime. You know, a guy who could be in the Ring of Honor one day with the way he's playing is Sauce Gardner, getting comparisons to you pretty quickly. And, you know, you're regarded as the greatest cornerback in Jets history. But what do you think about Sauce? You know, does it compare to you at all? Like, what do you think of his game as a cornerback? And you must enjoy watching this kid.
I think what I've heard and I was able to see him out at practice today a little bit. Seen a little film because I'm not glued every Sunday to everything, but some clips you see is great. I think he can be a great corner in his league. He's already on that track to do that. I believe there's a lot of work for him to do and to actually continue this on. I mean, stringing along, you know, year after year to play at a high level and consistently. For us athletes, sometimes you get around certain guys and you know they got the it factor. And I do see that in Sauce. So it's there. It's all there. It's just really for him to really continue to check off his list of goals of what he wants to do. We would love to have him in the Jets Ring of Honor one day. And looking forward to it because we're pushing – We want him to push the envelope, push what greatness is. That's what we want. So we all love the game. We want to see, you know, everybody do well and excel at a high level. So, you know, for him to be a New York Jet great is awesome for us. This really is.
Do you plan on speaking with him at all soon or have you already?
Like for me personally, like, again, it's like, you know, I'm not going to be in, you know, when I played, it wasn't a lot of people in my ear. It's just, you know, you got to let guys evolve because he does, you know, have so much on his plate, even just the pressure side of it, of playing at a high level week to week. So, you know, for me, man, it's just building a relationship organically and naturally and letting it just evolve from there. You know, if you get an interception, it's no different than other interceptions. It's all the same. It's just if there's little tips or little things to help anybody's game evolve. I'm always here. My door's always open, but at the same time, he has a style, the way he plays. He's a very confident player, and you can see that in his play.
You can see that in his drip, too. I mean, the ice. Darrell, I want you on Ring of Honor Sunday to be rocking a chain like he has. You got any of those in the closet?
I think that time might have passed me. But I like his drip. I like his sauce. I like everything that he brings to the table because it seems like he's willing to, you know, to back up any hype or anything that comes with it and accept that challenge. That's what I love to see.
All right, Darrell Revis getting in the Jets Ring of Honor Sunday against the Bears. Go see it. Congrats to you on the Ring of Honor. Congrats to your daughter on the National Honor Society. You must be a proud papa. And we're looking forward to seeing you. Thanks for coming on Gangs All Here, Darrell Revis. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Darrell.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Losing my virginity. I lost my virginity.
Much information.
What a great interview with Darrell Revis. Love talking to guys I grew up watching. Always brings a smile to my face. Thanks so much to the future Hall of Famer, Darrell Revis. And congrats to Darrell on going in the Ring of Honor on Sunday. I'll be there. Against the Bears. Can't wait to see that. This says goodbye to episode 124 of Gangs All Here, our Jets podcast from the New York Post. Thanks to Andrew Hartz for producing the show. Catch up on all episodes you may have missed by subscribing to Gangs All Here on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, Amazon, wherever you find podcasts. And subscribe to the New York Post Sports YouTube page to watch full episodes, clips, and shorts. Short little videos that we are putting together as well. Follow us on Twitter at Brian Koz and tweet me at Jake Brown Radio. For Brian Costello, I'm Jake Brown. We'll be with you next first thing Monday morning, 5 a.m. We'll drop a post-game episode after the Jets hopefully beat the Chicago Bears at MetLife Stadium. We'll see you at the game. Until then, we are thankful for you, the fans, for listening all season. What a year it's been. Been the most fun season of the show. The Jets are at least have a winning record. They've been competitive all year, and I've loved being a part of this program, and I thank you, the listeners, for supporting all year. And I hope you all have a happy Thanksgiving. Cut up your turkey, pour your gravy, don't have cranberry sauce, stuffing a little bit overrated, but enjoy your Thanksgiving dinner, enjoy the football, and we'll see you at MetLife Stadium for Jets Bears. Have a happy Thanksgiving, folks, and thanks for listening to Gangs All Here. Mike F and Y, baby.